Over the last little while, working through the book of Philippians, just to give a brief recap on chapter 2, beautiful passage of scripture, the Christ hymn, the Carmen Christi, verses 1 through to verse 11 of chapter 2, again, who being in nature, of a very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the nature of a servant, made in human likeness. We come to the cross, we come to the ascension, we come to the glorification of Christ. We're told at the beginning of this passage, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. That's a tall order. Then we're going into this passage, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And then this passage, which I just had stuck with me ever since Karen and I worked in Sandy Row, to be God's pure people in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. To live out that submission to the Lord, that servant nature, in a place that needs it. That's what we're called to as church. And then where we come to, and it's a strange little passage of scripture, and I'm sure as Valerie read it, and thank you, Valerie. And I think, what are we going to pick up from here? And in essence, in two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, we pick up the evidence of submission in their lives. We're given pictures of what that submission to Christ looks like, if you like. One, a young man, we understand, from mid-late teens through to very early 20s in Timothy. And then Epaphroditus, from what we understand, possibly even a former soldier in the Roman Empire, now living in the colony in Philippi, where Roman soldiers, if they had done well, were allowed to go and live in these privileged places. So that's what we understand about Epaphroditus and Timothy. Let's just unpack them, and what can we learn as we just step through the passages here, verses 19 through to 24. And again, maybe let's just read it again just to reinforce it to us. Paul writes, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes care, takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. Paul's actually thinking he's possibly close to death in a Roman prison. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. Whew. What do we learn from Timothy in this passage? If you wanted to turn to 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, actually we read a little bit about him. And Paul had met him on a mission trip as he came through Lystra where he lived. And he writes in a letter, second letter to Timothy, to encourage this young man, really, that he's mentoring. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, 2 Timothy 1 and 5. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and now in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So he's a young man with a Christian heritage and legacy. His mother, Eunice, his grandmother, Lois, and again, just this faith that has been passed down to him, a godly home and family from Lystra in Turkey. His mum, a Jew, we read in another place, his dad, a Gentile. But what do we learn in Timothy, or in Philippians here about Timothy? Verse 19, Paul says, I hope to send Timothy to you, that I may be cheered when I receive news about you. We read about partnership. And then in the second part of the verse, I may be cheered when I receive news about you. I hope to send Timothy to you. That's one way. And that I may be cheered when I receive news about you coming the other way. So there's a partnership. There's a service together here that we pick up just in this verse, in verse 19. Verse 20 tells us basically that he's a star pupil. I have no one else like him. He's the top of the class, gold star. There we go. He is someone who has served faithfully with Paul. Acts 16, verses 1 and 2, we're again told about this family background. And we're told, Acts 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul came to Derbe and then on to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, and whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Star pupil. This young man served God and served God faithfully. To the point, actually, that Paul said to Timothy, I want you to come with me. I want you to serve with me in the churches as he traveled around in the Mediterranean basin. More than this, Timothy, folks, for us is an example. Look at verses 21 and 22. And again, this kind of references back to chapter 2 and verses 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Verses 21 and 22, for everyone looks out for his own interests and not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as son with his father, Paul's saying, I'm almost like his adopted father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. This young man is a huge example to those that he comes in contact with as he lives for Jesus. Romans 12 and 2, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Be transformed. That's what people were seeing in Timothy. This young man wasn't living in the world's selfish ways, but was actually serving God as he served with Paul. Verse 21 talks about selfishness. Verse 22 talks about servanthood. Again, if you look at the bullet in our title today, is We Are Family. That's what we're called to in the church, to serve each other, to help each other, to live out this example of servanthood, selflessness rather than selfishness, if you like, the interests of others. And so as we read with the boys and girls, 1 Timothy 4 and 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, in purity. Folks, that's what we see in this young man, Timothy. Paul then goes on to talk about his future, verses 23 and 24. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. He's worried about his own future. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. He's trusting Timothy with the ministry and oversight of churches. Actually, we read Timothy's name 25 times in the New Testament in lots of the different churches planted by Paul, Timothy, Silas, Luke the doctor. As they have traveled and served God and people have come to faith, Timothy has been a man and was a man then in the future who helped lead the churches. We thought in the Christ hymn at the start of Philippians 2 about Christ's humiliation, crucifixion, and exaltation. We actually see that, not crucifixion, obviously, but carrying his cross and giving himself to death, that servanthood and sacrifice of the Lord, or to the Lord, and then the blessing that would come from that. Yet at the same time, Timothy wasn't the finished article. He wasn't the finished article. Actually, in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, Paul says to him, when he talks about his family background and the faith that lives in you, and then he says, fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. So this young man, although he was doing really well, he wasn't the finished article. And he prayed that God would fan into flame that which was in him. If anybody knows, and just as a silly, by the way, today's the 4th of May, which is International Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. But it's that idea that the Spirit of God would dwell within us and give us strength to stand for him. And so Paul speaks of this young man, his partnership in the gospel. He's absolutely a star pupil. He's an example to those around him. And in the future, he will lead for God in many of the churches of God formed and founded around the Mediterranean basin. Yet he wasn't the finished article, that he would grow in the Lord and in his service for the Lord. Think about Timothy. Think about Epaphroditus. I love it. A strange name. Some people say, is he the same as Epaphras that we read in other New Testament books? We're told no by most of the scholars. But Epaphroditus actually means charming or lovely. What about that for a name? Charming, lovely. We only read about him. We only read Epaphroditus' name twice. And both times in the book of Philippians. Yet hugely significant in his service for the church and all that was done in and through him. His character, look at verse 25 with me, please. Verse 25, Paul says, I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus. How does he describe him? My brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier, who is also your messenger. Wow. My brother in the Lord. My fellow worker. My fellow soldier. Again, some of the commentators think that's a nod to the fact that he was a soldier in the Roman Empire. And again, someone who was then entrusted actually to carry the gift of the church in Philippi to Rome to help Paul. We'll come to that just in a moment. But again, verse 29, Paul writes, honor men like him. He was of good character. Paul saw him as a brother in the Lord, as someone who served with him, most likely actually brought the gift from Philippi. Paul was in prison, but the way it worked was like an open prison. So visitors could come and go, and actually those visitors would bring food and actually care for the needs of the prisoner. Because, well, not like the day, you didn't get your degree or whatever. And that sounds very nasty, sorry. But you didn't get, it wasn't cushy in prison, is what I'm saying. To actually exist and to live in prison was brutal. And you only existed and lived as people cared for you and brought food to you and looked after you. And the church in Philippi sent the gift. Who will we send it with? Well, Epaphroditus, he was a soldier. He's tough. He can carry it across the empire to Rome. And then he stayed there to help and care for Paul. He's exalted here by Paul, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier. He has carried the gift to you, Paul, your messenger whom you have sent. His humiliation, he has humbled himself. Again, this pattern of Jesus that we read at the start of chapter 2. Carrying the gift, your messenger whom you sent. Caring for Paul to take care of my needs. Again, a Roman prison. He was the boy who went and got bread and wine or water every day to actually sustain Paul and physically keep him alive, to take care of his needs. But look at verse 26. His compassion for the church. His compassion for the church. For he longs for all of you. That's his home church back in Philippi. And is distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only him, but also me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that you see him again, and you may be glad. I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy. Honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you could not give me. Wow. Folks, we actually have the Epistle of the Philippians because Epaphroditus carried it back from Rome to the church in Philippi. We only read his name twice and in this letter, but we only have this beautiful letter of the Philippians because Epaphroditus faithfully carried that letter back to encourage the church in Philippi. And I don't know about you, but to encourage me also thousands of years later. His compassion for the church, I am distressed, is a Greek word full of heaviness that's only twice in the New Testament. And the second time is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, I'm overwhelmed to the point of death. The sense that Epaphroditus felt for the church and the care that the church had for him and their concern for him, there's a compassion. We are family. We belong to each other. The cost of commitment, verse 27 and verse 30, he almost died. It would seem that Epaphroditus got sick in the prison caring for Paul, to the point where he almost lost his life. And so Paul was saying, I need to get him sent back home to his home church, where he has given his life in sacrifice, he's given his life in servanthood, but he's been treated with a degree of supremacy by Paul, my brother, my fellow worker, my fellow soldier. Folks, for you and I, again, look at those words on the screen and ask yourself, my character in the Lord, am I carrying out service to the Lord? Am I caring and compassionate for the church and for God's people and for those outside of the church who need to know the Lord? And am I prepared to pay the cost of commitment? Allow me just to read, I'll not read it all, but just a little bit of it. But sometimes we have this notion that we come to love the Lord and then everything's cushy to him. Life is just sweet because we love the Lord and the Lord loves us, and so everything's going to be hunky-dory. And we have this in our heads that this is what faith looks like, and it's false. Sounds terrible, but it's false because Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, I've worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger. You get the picture. The cost of serving Jesus. Because we love Jesus does not mean that life is going to be sweet and everything and we've no difficulties. But there is a cost in following Jesus. But to have a character that is holy and to be carrying the message of Christ, to be caring for the needs of others, to be compassionate and to pay that cost of Christ. Warren Wiersbe very helpfully says, just as we come to a close, Epaphroditus and Timothy together encourage us to submit ourselves to the Lord and to one another. We are family in the Spirit of Christ. Folks, what is this and what do these two men say to you this morning? I would say the call is about being faithful, about being available, about being sacrificial in how we live before the Lord, and being together because we are family. Can I ask in Ballywillan, what is our commitment to the family of faith here? Our service for the Lord. What about the choices? Because it is a choice that we have to make every day. We live in the kingdom of a better offer, that something better comes along and I'll go and do that. But actually often faithfulness is being available, making a choice to say, I am not going to do that, I'm going to do this, because this is priority. Being sacrificial has a cost, because we belong to each other in community. So can I ask you this morning to be fast in how you follow the Lord, to be faithful, available, sacrificial, and commit to the community as God's people together. Whatever age you are, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young or old, but set an example as we seek to live for the Lord in these days.